Episode of Quad Tech with Operator. This episode is going to be on monitoring. Is monitoring in the workplace? Things you can do to find out if you're being monitored. If you're ever on a computer and you think you're being watched, you can look for screen dumps, which are a common way that people monitor you. It was one of these Biodynamics guys said that the easiest way to find out if you're being screen dumped is to hit close everything out, close everything that's running, might turn something around, and bring up the task manager, hit it on the process list, and watch the line, walk away, come back, and if you see anything that looks like a heartbeat, then you know that it's taking a screenshot every 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Now, if you got that, you know something's running. First thing you want to do is check your basic task manager, see if there's any executables in there. If you don't see anything in there, you might want to use something a little stronger. Process Explorer from Systernals, which is unfortunately bought by Microsoft. They sold out. And it's fairly easy to find what it's dumping to. Well, chances are, if you're being logged, the logs are actually going somewhere else besides the local machine. Now, what's the easiest way to find out? You can do a simple netstat and a loop, and just netstat every second or every 60 seconds and see if there's either an established connection or a wait connection in there that's gone to somewhere else on a different server. And from there, you can research using Process Explorer to find out where it's going on the network. Now, once you've located what the executable is, and if you're having problems looking for the executable, you can also look in program files, sort it by date, and generally you'll find something in there having to do that you don't recognize, and then you can go research from there. Sometimes I've seen people rename an executable to something obscure, so therefore that you won't notice that that's what it is. The simple workaround with this is to use Project Explorer, or just right-click the executable itself and go under description, and it will tell you what the application is and the version information, and then you can go research from there. So once you've identify the executable, identify the program, check the documentation, and try and find out what it does, how it works, what the limitations are. So you're at work and you want to install something. So what you do is if you can, boot to safe mode and install it that way. If you're a power user, there's another alternative method, is actually install the software if you can, and then go into the registry and remove the uninstall key for that, and also put it somewhere sort of hidden, necessarily not straight in the program files, so they can tell that they have to kind of look around for it if they want to find it. I'll go over some scenarios as far as installing software. You get on a box, you try to install something that says you don't have access to the registry. What you want to do is go in there and look around under the policies. See if you can kill the policies tree, or back it up first, of course. Kill the policies tree and then restart. If you don't have rewrite access to the registry and you can't get those policies out of there, the only pretty much other thing you can do is boot off of a live CD and make yourself an administrator account. And then from there, you can go CMD run as and run whatever you need to run and install whatever you need to install. Most of the open source applications you can stick on a USB stick and run on a USB stick or any kind of bootable media. Most of them are called portable apps. Firefox, of course, had one. There's Tor Park, all the Tor stuff, any anonymous stuff, your Operas, anything that that's open source can generally be stuck on a removable media because they like to keep everything in one folder nice and neat. Some other things are a script that I wrote for Anti-Idle will actually hit the numlock key, I think, every 59 seconds. So, for example, if you're on a box and you leave, and you can run the Anti-Idle and it'll keep them logged in. That way you don't need their password or if the screen locks or anything like that. This is also good for monitoring applications because some of them will monitor when the screensaver turns on. Because, of course, if the screensaver turns on, then that means you're not doing it. So, for example, they'll monitor, okay, the screensaver has been on for 15 minutes. Now I'm going to send a thing to the server saying, okay, this guy's screensaver has been on for 15 minutes and we need to report that he's not doing any work. As far as web traffic goes, not a whole lot you can do. They can always man in the middle any kind of HTTPS you got going, but that's not really going to happen on any normal network. A lot of times, if you see HTTPS, you're safe. You can always tunnel through your own server. You can look online, just look for tunnel and PuTTY. There's a lot of easy tutorials on setting up a tunnel. If you're running Apache, you can use CGI proxy or NPH proxy. It's fairly simple to set up, but you probably want to authenticate to it or have some kind of whitelist set up. I'm not really comfortable with somebody on an open proxy. And of course, a more common method is to change your MAC address and get on a open Wi-Fi. So there's no authentication on an access point. You can jump on an access point and be done with it. Not have to worry about being anonymous because you can pretty much be anybody you want on an open access point.
Music by Underworld. Title: Cherry Pie. Thank you for listening. See you at Outer Zone.